We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the first day of October 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group. He's in Decatur, Illinois. In agricultural news, the European Union is indicating it will open its market to more U.S. beef imports. And California Senator Barbara Boxer wants to reduce greenhouse gas emissions by 20% and would limit swings in the carbon market her legislation would create. We'll have details of these and other stories shortly. Also in this half hour, we'll hear how Purdue Extension ag economist Chris Hurt sees the financial future of the pork industry in the United States. And at the end of this half hour, meteorologist Peter Levitt will join us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago, on this Thursday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby December wheat, a $4.52¾ settlement price, down 4¾ for the soft red. March at 4.72½, down 4½, and May at 4.84¾, down 4½ cents. Kansas City, December at $4.69½, finished 7 cents lower. December corn futures, $3.40½, down 3½. The March at 3.53¼, down 3½, and May futures at 3.62, down 3¾. July corn, 3.70¼, down 3½ cents. Soy complex, November beans, $9.18, down 9. January 9.24¼, 9¼ lower, and the March futures 9.24¾, down 8¾. May contract 9.20¾, down 7¼, and July soybeans today 9.21½, down 7½. October bean meal futures 284.70, finished $4 lower. December 280.80, down 4.70. October soybean oil 34.27. 28 cents higher, December up 26 at 34.59. October live cattle futures $84.10, a dollar fifty lower, December at 84.97½, down $1.15. October feeders $1.55 lower at 94.95. November at 94.92½, down $1.70. October lean hogs at 49.42½, 65 cents lower, and December at 48.62½. Down 97½ cents. You are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Nearby crude oil futures, that's the November contract, 21 cents higher on its settlement price. It's $70.82 a barrel. October ethanol at $1.83¼ is 4⅛ cents on its settlement price, higher for the day. November natural gas at $4.48¼, down 3.35¾ at this hour. And the RBOB at $1.75¾ is just about 0.5 cents higher. November heating oil at $1.82¾, that's 0.9 cents lower. November propane at 99¢ even, up 0.3¢. And the gold futures now at $999.50 on their settlement price for a Thursday afternoon, down $8.50. The Dow Jones Industrial Average stands at 9,572. It's 140 points lower, and the U.S. dollar at 77.18 is up 0.53 on the afternoon. The CRB at 255.55 is down 384 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like. In western Illinois, it should be cloudy this evening with rain and some thunderstorms early, and then it'll become partly cloudy. In eastern Illinois, mostly cloudy, some showers, a few thunderstorms. Those will happen before midnight. In Indiana, cloudy, periods of rain, some thunderstorms. Lows will range this evening from 44 in northwestern Illinois to 57 in southern Indiana. tomorrow in eastern Indiana, cloudy showers early, then becoming partly sunny. In northern and west central Illinois, becoming cloudy, scattered showers during the afternoon. Elsewhere, a mix of clouds, some sunshine. Highs will range tomorrow from 54 in northwestern Illinois to around 70 in the south. Unsettled cool weather will cover the region on Saturday. Scattered showers are likely across the northern third of the two-state region, with some widely scattered showers further to the south. More on the weather when we get to the bottom of the hour.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, Hudsonville, Illinois, and Crescent City, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Thursday afternoon. Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois, joins us today to take a look at the agricultural futures markets. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
There in Decatur, have you been taking any receipts of soybeans and corn? Have you been keeping up on the cash side?
We're buying a little bit. I mean, some of the harvest areas, at least down in the Ohio River Valley, have been going at it. We're starting to hear a little bit here in central and east central Illinois. So there are at least spots of harvest activity going, but it's still very slow.
And last week we talked a bit about your ideas for the corn market, suggesting that maybe it would be best if they went ahead and sold over the scale and then replaced possibly with some options. Are you still under that
Well, idea? I don't know if I want to say it's best. The only thing that I was wanting to point out is that there are different different alternatives than, you know, maybe paying commercial storage. A lot of it, of course, is if you have home storage versus commercial storage, and of course what your cash flow needs and all that is that I just kind of wanted to point out that there are alternatives, and each alternative has its pluses and minuses.
So what are you thinking on the market at this point?
Well, for the most part, I mean, we've got a big crop out there. I suppose we can argue whether it's 12.9 or 13.1 billion. I don't know. I suppose that's what we're going to argue about. But we do have a big crop of beans. Also, at least the yield reports that we've heard early are all kind of indicating that we've got a big crop. So, you know, there's limits to how high this market's going to go with this big supply. As we go through harvest, we're bound to have some harvest pressures as we go forward. But, you know, the corn chart, for some time, I kind of been in the camp that it looked like it was trying to turn sideways until we get further down the road with harvest or see what kind of demand we do have under this market. We do have strong demand. So I'm kind of in the kind of a sideways to higher camp at the moment, but we do need to kind of punch out this frost scare high on December corn that we made here a couple weeks ago at 347 3/4. If we could punch that out, I think technically then it kind of opens the gates for some short covering strength that might be able to take it on up into the 360s or 370s. But that would be the most optimistic that I would be, at least in the short run here.
And so that would be give you the top end of the range, 360, 370. Are you trying to build a channel, a sideways channel, with maybe a bottom somewhere? Is it as low as $3 or is it 315?
Well, it kind of looks like this old used to be resistance area when we had the $3 grain reserve years ago with 312, 311. It kind of looks like this 315, 312, 310 area is pretty good support at the moment. Even though we may have a 13 billion bushel crop out there, you got to keep in mind that we're starting harvest roughly a month behind what we normally do. So that 1.6 billion bushel carryout that USDA said we had on September 6th, or I mean September 1st, is probably a billion bushels less, we only have 600 million. So there is going to be room, I think, for this big crop, at least initially. So this market doesn't have to go down a lot.
Inside ADM, when they start to discuss the crop and its condition and quality, are they very worried about the ear rots at this point? And not so much about fusarium, I suppose. I don't, that would be the one that's toxic, but diplodia, and what that might do to the crop and the condition that the crop will come in. Generally, any ear rot would give you lighter weights on the bushel, and also probably would give you some cracked corn. What happens inside of ADM when they're looking at a crop like that, and are they very concerned about it at this point?
Well, any buyer, any end user buying grain that has, you know, quality problems is always nerve-wracking. And, you know, as long as it's manageable, it's okay. Hopefully, what ear rot damage is out there, that it's all generally manageable at this point. At least that's, you know, what we've seen so far. But it's always a concern anytime you get in any kind of, because you have to meet certain quality levels when you merchandise that on into the other markets. So, that's always a worry.
Okay, so let's talk about the soybeans then. USDA this week on its grain stocks report found 28 million bushels. It increased last year's crop size by 8 million, and then the residual it reduced by 20 million. So we came up with 28 million total. Was that something you expected?
It didn't surprise me because the way the market performed late in the season, because it did not perform that we had 110 million bushel carryout. You know, it's kind of like the corn market. So especially over this last month, the way the market, the basis levels begin to ease, cash prices begin to come down. So it did indicate that maybe things weren't as tight as what the market was kind of looking at on USDA numbers. And I think that's, I've always viewed stocks reports as kind of an explanation of why the market did what it did, not necessarily what it's going to do forward, especially this ending stocks number, because the main focus, of course, now is new crop inventory, how quickly we're going to get this crop harvested, and how things are going to play out over the next 60 days here.
It appears, as you mentioned earlier, that the soybean crop is awfully good at this point, and I guess you're of the mind that the big crop is going to get bigger. Is that right?
Well, yeah, I mean, you would have to expect to see some upward adjustment in yields based upon what we've heard. But, you know, the jury's still out. I mean, I don't know what kind of percentage levels we're talking about being harvested, but it's very early in the season. We don't know what late season beans are going to do. That is still being debated among the trade. But at least compared to what we thought we might have in the bin when we were looking around June 15th, or June 1 even, definitely the crop is much bigger than what everybody thought it was going to be, you know, on June 1.
In Chicago, there's very little difference between the November and the July soybean contract. Actually, it's 918 and 921 and a half, so just a 3.5 cent spread there. Anything a producer should do other than sell beans across the state?
Well, I mean, that's what the market tells you, but you got to keep in mind farmers are not merchandisers. I know everybody tries to be a merchandiser at from time to time, but farmers are flat price sellers, and when you look at flat prices for spot delivery and you look at what the flat price is for January delivery or what the spot price is for March delivery, it's not necessarily telling you to store it. So if you're going to store it, you have to have a reason, such as that you must have a good weather man that tells you that South America is going to have weather problems or something. Economically, it's clear, at least from visiting with farmers and talking to other people, that I think farmers are inclined to be sellers of beans because they're perceived to be above cost of production and the yields are pretty good, whereas corn, the price down here is not very attractive, so I think farmers will have a tendency to be generally tight holders of corn. So, that's the way the trade's approaching it. We'll have to see how that plays out. whatever the majority does 6 months from now, be careful what prices might do.
And what is your chart telling you the price of beans will do 6 months?
Well, beans are right up against this, I call it a three-point downtrend line from the August high point of 1066, and then we got like a late August high, I think here about 1018, and then a middle September high of about 977. We're right up against that. It looked like this morning after yesterday's reversal up that we were going to go ahead and slice through that. So far, that trend line has turned it back. I think from a technical perspective, the market does need to go on the offensive and close out the week real strong, or otherwise I think it's teeing itself up for a round of weakness as we go on into next week.
Dan, thanks so much.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker is with ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois. He joins us here in the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Thursday afternoon. And be sure to visit our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find this program, other programming that you can listen to anytime you'd like. It's at willag.org. Dave Dickey will be here shortly with a look at today's agricultural news.
Support for Illinois Public Media comes from Syngenta, featuring AgriSure 3000 GT hybrids, designed to give you up to 38 bushels more per acre if you have rootworms, and an average of 3 more even if you don't. More information on Syngenta's AgriSure 3000 GT hybrids is at agrisuretraits.com.
In agricultural news, the European Union and United States circulated details yesterday of their groundbreaking deal solving their long-running dispute over beef. A document circulated to WTO members by the EU and US confirmed that the European Union would admit an extra annual duty-free quota of 20,000 tons from August this year. If the two parties agree to move to a second phase, the additional quota would rise to 45,000 tons in the fourth year. In return, the U.S. agreed to reduce and eventually drop duties it was authorized by the WTO to impose on EU produce in retaliation for the ban. The climate change bill, unveiled yesterday by Senator Barbara Boxer of California, has the goal of cutting U.S. greenhouse gas emissions by 20% by the year 2020 from 2005 levels. Another goal, and one that will be debated in coming weeks and months, is a mechanism to include cost controls to prevent sudden price increases in the carbon market the bill would create. The 20% reduction proposed in the Boxer bill would require deeper emissions cuts than the House climate bill's 17% target over the same period. The International Monetary Fund today declared that a global economic recovery has begun, led by Asia, also cautioning that the strength of the rebound depends on a rebalancing of global growth. The fund now expects world output to contract by 1.1% in 2009 before growing by 3.1% in 2010. The IMF revised up China's growth forecast for next year to 9% from a July estimate of 8.5%. Lawmakers from dairy-producing states announced an agreement yesterday on $350 million in aid for struggling milk farmers. Some $290 million would go for direct support, and additional $60 million would cover purchases of surplus cheese and other dairy products in hopes of raising prices. Food banks and other nutrition programs would get the goods. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of this program and of Commodity Week, both of which you can hear online anytime you'd like at willag.org. That's willag.org. Now up next, livestock producers around the nation have been suffering severe financial losses. We'll have a report on a small glimmer of hope for the industry.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Pig producers have been losing a lot of money because of the recession. So have poultry, dairy, and beef producers. They've all cut production, but demand for livestock products is down worldwide. These cuts haven't been deep enough to stimulate a return to profits, but there is a glimmer of hope. Pork producer profits are expected to turn positive in the spring of 2010, says Purdue University Extension economist Chris Hurt. That hope, he says, lays in the worldwide economic recovery.
World economic growth appears to be on the positive side in some numbers coming out of Europe, out of Japan. We just saw a revision in our second quarter here in the United States, not down quite as much. And so that makes us believe that we'll see our third quarter numbers when they come out late in October actually are going to be positive in the United States. Positive growth, economic activity beginning to pick back up. Again, we have to remind our livestock producers that we've kind of fallen down the well in economic activity, and the start of recovery still says we're recovering from a very low level, from the bottom of that well. But still, that's going to be a more positive tone. We're going to see both beef and pork supplies down somewhat, it looks like, later this year and going on into 2010. Smaller supplies, recovering world economy, that finally gives us the reason to say we've got hope we can see fairly substantial recoveries in prices.
Hog prices are expected to average in the high 30s on the live weight basis for the final quarter of 2009. Prices are expected to rise to the low $40 level this winter and then move into the mid-40s for the second quarter averages. Next summer's prices are expected to rise into the high 40s for an average and then the low 50s for the weekly highs. Margins would turn to small profits of about $2 a head in the spring and $12 a head in the summer, says Hurt.
And again, what we're talking about is we won't get back to profits for the hog industry until the spring of 2010. Still losses this fall. We're thinking about $15 a head this fall, another $7 per head loss through the first quarter of 10 before we get back to some profits.
Purdue University's Hurt says lower corn, soybean meal, and energy prices will be helpful in reducing losses this fall and winter. Given those costs and hog price outlook, farrow to finish producers are expected to lose about $15 a head this fall and $7 a head in the winter. Current forecasts for the whole of 2010 suggest producers will average a year-long profit of about $3 a head. At least that compares to losses of $22 per head in 2009 and $17 of loss in 2008. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Learned Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Genuity SmartStax corn hybrids. Learned Seed Service provides information and services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. Learned Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Please visit us online at willag.org. There you'll find this program, other agricultural programming, and a way to sign up for our free weekend newsletter. It's all at willag.org. In just 2 minutes, I'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Peter Levitt about the weather.
Thank you.
Support for WILL comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks by developing dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is at stuart-peterson.com.
Listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason. It's a Thursday afternoon. On the line with us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast is meteorologist Peter Levitt. Good afternoon to you, Pete.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It's kind of dreary here this afternoon. Will we continue with the rainfall and gray skies for very long?
I suspect in the northeastern portion of the state you will. The band of rain extends from about east-central Illinois northwestward, then gets heavier as you go further northwest. They're really getting the heavy rain in the upper Midwest, which ends a fairly protracted period of dry weather they've had up there that earlier in September. The rain will clear out, though, from west to east. Most of the heavier stuff going by to the north of the state through northern Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin, into Michigan in the next 24 hours. Then I think we get a couple of good days with maybe a few scattered showers later tomorrow, and then on Sunday, Monday looks fine. More rain Tuesday, Wednesday, and then the big cold shot we'll talk about in a minute on that. Temperatures will be cooling off as this pattern of showers moves off to the east. We expect to see some cool temperatures tomorrow night, on Saturday and Sunday, and things will warm up a bit Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, even as the rain moves in. And then we're looking, I think, at the end of the growing season next weekend, not this coming weekend, but the weekend after this. I think we're finally going to see the cold weather that everybody's been anticipating with some apprehension because of the lateness of the crop.
Well, how cold?
Oh, I would think this one is going to get down in, well, it's to the upper Midwest. I think we're going to see temperatures into the upper to mid-20s in the upper Midwest and the eastern Dakotas, certainly into the upper 20s in northern Iowa. And then this would be late Saturday and Sunday. And then actually we could get the freezing temperatures all the way down through southern Iowa, northern Missouri, central and southern Illinois. And in these areas, the first frost or freeze of the season would be ahead of normal. The normal first date of frost now runs from about the northern third of Iowa, just touching extreme northern Illinois today. And so south of that area, this cold air will actually come in before normal.
Yeah, so before normal, but it's still a week and a couple of days away, right?
Yes, but we're not going to get much progress on the crop because of the cool temperatures the next few days. The relatively mild temperatures will be a 1 or 2 day affair, mostly in Tuesday and Wednesday. And it's growing degree days that would get that crop moved along. And even the normals this time of year don't give you the kind of growing degree days you really need. You saw those progress numbers on the maturity of the corn this past week in Illinois. I think they're some 60% or 60 points behind on maturity of corn, 20-some-odd percent versus 85% for this time of year.
Pete, thanks much, and we'll talk with you again next week.
Uh-huh, my pleasure.
Uh-huh. Pete Levitt, meteorologist, joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media each and every Thursday afternoon. Thank you for being along with us. Stay safe out there. I'm Todd Gleason.